Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 117 of The Established Facts. For those of you who haven't noticed, we've not necessarily been completely mute, but mostly silent over the last... Don't look at me like that, Derek. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, at least.
Mute would apply we were actually recording something.
Right.
Right.
We weren't.
Exactly. Right. So it wasn't really mute.
Right.
No, it wasn't mute. It was silent. It was radio silence.
It was radio silence. That's right. but yeah, we've had a lot of exciting things in our away from the mic lives happening.
That's a good word.
That's a great word of saying. Exciting is definitely... There is a Chinese proverb, may you have an interesting life. It's more of a curse.
I would definitely say the last month has definitely fulfilled that.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and do our introductions around the table. We'll start to my right and introduce everybody. So go ahead.
This is Josh.
Hey, guys. This is Derek.
This is Daniel.
And, of course, this is your host, Big Don. And as you've heard, we do have a new friend on our mics, Daniel. Give us a little bit of a rundown of... who you are, how you know us, and I don't know, something fun gamey about you.
Well,
gamey like games, not like rabbit.
Or smell.
Yes, because wow. We're on a rabbit smelling podcast. Yes.
You didn't know that?
I wondered
we
where
changed
that rabbit
topics.
Came from. Well, actually, I met most of you last year right around Gen Con time. And have kind of just started hanging out with all of you. As far as gaming, good lord, I've been gaming D&D games since I was 14. I've just always loved to game. Board games have really come into my interest over the last 6-8 years now. So pretty much any game I can get my hands on, I'm interested in trying it out.
Okay, very cool, very cool. Well, for episode 117, titled Life Happened, we are going to kind of go over some of the fun stuff that we're looking forward to within the next, I would say, 3 to 6 months. For our versus topic, we are going to discuss attending a convention versus exhibiting a convention, and we'll kind of go with the norm. What do you prefer? Do you enjoy attending a convention over exhibiting, or vice versa? And of course, we'll go around the table. There's only four of us, so it shouldn't be too difficult to get around the table for our quick fire answer.
Would this be a squared circle?
This would be a squared circle. I like that. I like that.
Nice.
Especially with WrestleMania coming in like two.
Soon.
Yes. That's right. If you didn't know, we most of us are definitely wrestling fans, and you know the granddaddy of them all when it comes to wrestling events is around the corner. So,
okay.
Anyway, yes. So we'll go ahead and start with Josh. Attending a con versus exhibiting at a con.
If this is the Indie PopCon, folks, it's absolutely exhibiting, but in reality, it's attending.
Way to hedge. Would that be considered a fence sitter?
No, it's definitely attending.
I was going to say, Josh attending. Is an attender.
Okay. I would actually say exhibiting at a con.
Okay. Daniel?
Well, I've never done either. However, I will probably get some experience this year.
Well?
I worked as a volunteer last year at Gen Con, and I don't really want to repeat that one.
I hear you. I hear you.
But I did have a good time.
Good. So you're... Daniel's new. Derek chose exhibiting. Josh chose attending, and I am the official fence sitter of the podcast.
Oh, my goodness, neither am I.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love both. So, Josh, why do you like to attend a con more than you like to exhibit at a convention?
I very much enjoy things that allow me to immerse myself in said thing. I love going to Disney World because when you go to Disney World, if you plan it accordingly, you don't have to think about much of anything other than when do I eat next? And do I have a fast pass or is that line very long? You know, you're making the simple decisions like which ride am I going to ride today? You know, but I'm in Disney World. I'm outside of this crazy decision-making world. Enjoying very much. Yes, I'm escaping reality. I'm an escapist. I don't have a problem admitting that. But my wife allows me to do such things.
That's so, what makes her the best person in the world.
Yes.
As she's walking up the stairs.
Yeah. Save for Daniel. So, okay.
Save for okay. But so with conventions in particular, Gen Con being the one that I have the most experience with, being able to just kind of get into the foray and walk around and see the new games and experience the new games and meet the new people, sometimes including somebody who decides to move here because he's crazy, but I'm glad he's here. Being able to just kind of dive head first, I don't experience the same exhibiting. Exhibiting, it's most of the time we're in our own little world. We get lucky with PopCon because we get to meet all these new people because, you know, we're podcasters and apparently that means something. So, but for the most part, I would probably say attending so I can escape from the busyness of the regular day to day.
All right, Derek, as Josh kind of said, you gained a lot of experience meeting us and hanging out with us through attending conventions. But in attending, you were actually pretty much working those conventions, whether it be running as a GM or something like that. And you decided that exhibiting at a convention was what you preferred over attending. Why?
This was a tough one for me because I was about to join you on the fence.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking, actually, White Flag Games, which is a local game store here in Mooresville, did a yard sale.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a bunch of people. You can purchase table space,
mm-hmm.
and you could sell your used games, and I sold USS there. And I was thinking about it because we were sitting next to a really cool couple that were selling used games, and I was thinking, you know, that's what really happens at conventions is that you get to know the people that are next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the Obscure Reference games.
Right.
That I met at Origins last year. They're running, their Kickstarter is almost done.
Go Overlords of Infamy!
Yeah, seriously. So they, brand new game that's coming out, and I would never have met them had I not been exhibiting. I mean, you go around the exhibit hall as an attendee, you talk to people, but you really don't get to know these exhibitors until you actually sit down with them and are sitting there during those down times when the hall is basically empty, and you talk with them. I was also next to Studio 2 publishing it at Origins. I was also across from the a kilt maker. These sorts of things you don't get really as an attendee. At Gen Con, I wasn't an exhibitor there, but you and Dan both were essentially exhibitors there. And even though you weren't technically owning the booth, you were running it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a memorable experience with the kilt people that were across from you. If you guys were not exhibitors there, that would not have happened.
Right.
And I've had that at every experience from my first one at GamerX to all the way through the most recent ones, and I'm looking forward to Lebanon MegaCon to exhibit there. it's you just find all these eclectic people. Like when I was at PopCon, I was sort of stranded out in the middle of nowhere across from
the Halo thing.
But I got to know the people. There was a woman selling all these simpler games for kids, Two Boos Down. I got to know her. I got to know this pop culture seller across the aisle from me. We just hit it off, and we really help each other. One of the things that you notice as an exhibitor is that at the beginning, things are very tense because people are trying to make their sales, and they don't know if they're going to make their sales, so they're sort of kind of uptight. But as the show progresses, even if sales aren't great, like there were a couple of really bad sale days at Origins, the exhibitors start loosening up around people, especially the new guys like us, like me and the obscure reference games guys. And you really start to get to know them and talk with them and sort of, you know, it becomes sort of a camaraderie. And that's the other big point, is that it is a camaraderie because you're doing something that few people do. Like, there are millions of attendees, but there are thousands of exhibitors. And right. So you're doing something that few people do, and or get to do, I should say. So if you do have a chance to volunteer at a booth, I would take them up on that, to experience it from the other side of the carpeted room. So. Right.
Well, Dan, as kind of the newer eyes experiencing things kind of for the first time in a lot of ways, what would you say kind of gears your opinion towards where you're at?
Well, actually thinking about it now, and I hadn't realized it, but yes, actually volunteering in the booth is kind of like being an exhibitor.
Yeah.
The game that we were doing, I had just learned literally the night before, but I felt comfortable enough to show people. And it was actually kind of cool watching people come in and who were showing interest and wanted to know, and being able to show them something and seeing if they really were interested. You kind of got the feeling that you could tell just within the first, you know, little bit of the demonstration, whether they were going to like it or not, or if there was an interest. But at the same time, Derek kind of had a point, because at Gen Con, I had started joking around with the kilt makers across from the booth where we were demoing. And it had kind of been this running joke with him after the first day. You know, he kept seeing us over there working, and how I was talking to people, the one guy kept coming back and saying, "Hey, come work for us. Come work for us." And it was hilarious, you know, because of course I couldn't, but it was funny. But I see how being a exhibitor has its points that it could be fun as well. Being that last year at Gen Con was my first time, I was a little overwhelmed by the size and the number of people. But by the end of it, I really had a good time, and it was a memorable time. Through everything that went on, it was just a lot of fun. This year I am just going to be an attendee. I want to have more time to actually experience it and go around and see what's there. But I do see that there's good things on both sides. I would agree with Derek on that. You know, if you do get a chance to volunteer, do it. Good or bad experience, it is different. And I think it would make a big difference. I mean, I'll know better this year going as an attendee, and then I have a little more to compare it to. But virtually in my brain, you know, I can see how it would be different on both sides.
Yeah.
So, and it was a lot of fun. I don't know exactly my personal stance. I don't know exactly how I'm going to feel I don't normally do great in large crowds, but I actually at Gen Con, it was, we were so busy, I didn't have a chance to really bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll have fun with it.
I will give you this about Gen Con. Gen Con is huge, but as big as the crowd is, especially once you get into the exhibit hall, your crowd is only as big as the hallway.
Yeah.
Not the exhibit hall, but literally the hallway between. That's all the bigger the crowd can get because there's nowhere else to put them.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting you bring that up because you're right. You both are absolutely right. Getting the different viewpoint of the convention from the table makes a big difference because you will see probably more people sitting at the table than you would walking the hall because you're paying attention to, I've seen that guy or I haven't seen it because you're stopped. You're just kind of letting it come in as to who you've seen, who you haven't seen, etc. But an interest, I'm really surprised you were the fence sitter on the element of how much you have enjoyed attending Gen Con and attending Drew Con or Fear the Con as it was. Our experience in terms of hosting really is kind of limited to PopCon. And we love PopCon. I can't say that enough, and I will say it more. But how is that swaying you to stay on the fence?
I would say that, for my opinion, you know, this will be my Gen Con 2016 will be my 13th Gen Con. This will be our third PopCon
because it is the third PopCon.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was just making sure. I was making sure it wasn't four.
We'll be there till it goes.
That's right. So I would have to say that the reason that I am sitting on the fence, and you know, to reflect back on previous episodes, being a pretty extreme extrovert, it is a really cool experience both attending or both going as an attendee and working as an exhibitor for a lot of different reasons. I enjoy attending Gen Con and attending Indiana Comic Con and things like that because I get a chance to sit down at a table for an increment of usually about 4 hours because I do a lot of role play stuff. When I go to cons, I'll play some new board games and things like that as demos. And those usually go 45 minutes to an hour or so. But I like to spend my time playing games where I can invest, you know, I can invest myself and my personality into that game for whatever the increment of time is. So I love going as an attendee because you get a chance to experience everything for what the show is meant to be. But I really love, in the short amount of time that we have gone, and even before we went to Indie PopCon and became, you know, kind of opened the door to being an exhibitor, we still did interview things at Gen Con and stuff like that. That's, you know, that's been something that we've probably done over the last 4 or 5 years, is going to cons, doing interviews, talking to people, which is not the same as exhibiting exactly, but I think it gets you out of the attendee realm for long enough to be able to kind of see it as something different than being just a pure attendee.
Okay, now I've got a question for you on that.
Sure.
How would you term a GM in that case? Would you term them an attendee or an exhibitor?
In all honesty, because you are working to fill the slot of what the convention is. So if you're talking Gen Con, let's say Gen Con specifically for right now.
Okay.
I know that Indie PopCon is opening avenues for different types of gaming as well, which I think is awesome. I think every sci-fi, comic, horror, any con should have a little element of gaming because I think that the game industry lends itself to so many different genres. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you go to a horror con, you play Zombicide, things like that. Anyway, so I feel like because you are adding to the experience of what a normal attendee is wanting in that convention, if you're running a game at Gen Con, I would lump you into, if we're saying, you know, attendee or exhibitor, I would say you're more towards the exhibitor side. Obviously, it's a little bit different because you kind of flip-flop back and forth between the two. If you're a GM but you only run one game a day, then you're an attendee except for the time that you're running.
Well,
the
same would be for volunteers who
only have
a couple of slots. But that's an interesting point because I would agree because you – there is, especially at Gen Con, there is a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but there is more responsibility on you.
Yeah.
Like you have to collect the tickets, you have to turn them in and all that. So, yeah, I would actually agree with you on that.
I think also, if you look at it in the perspective of what would Gen Con be without somebody running a game?
It wouldn't exist.
It would be a huge game store that was open for 4 days.
Yep.
And people would go in and check out a new game and buy it and go home.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have lasted, you know, almost 50 years now.
Agreed.
It's because of the community of people. You know, Gen Con started as, hey, let's get together and play some board games. It didn't start as what it is today. And so I think that what I love about conventions like Gen Con is it still finds itself in the root of what it was when it started. It is a much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're moving things over into Lucas Oil Stadium, which is amazing.
That's a smart move, but I think that it may be outgrowing its britches.
I would say
because I've heard a lot of complaints about people not being able to attend or not being able to exhibit because it's outpriced them.
I could see that. I think we've discussed that a little bit on previous shows where it seems like for the amount of people that they can get in there, the price to exhibit at a con like Gen Con, and I think that this is kind of where, and I know we've talked about big cons versus small cons, and I think this is where that big con versus small con dynamic really kicks in as an exhibitor is in order for you to get an exhibitor's booth at Gen Con, there is a lot of money involved. You pay for your booth, you pay for any sort of amenities, whether it be electricity or anything like that. Obviously, if you're a game exhibitor or if you're, you know, doing cosplay or something like that, you have material needs that you have to bring with you or you have to ship with you.
There's a lot of that with any convention that you go to. Gen Con just does it on an exponentially higher scale.
Right.
Origins does the same way.
It's
really, I mean, you have to rent the actual tables and the coverings. You have to be uniform in your table coverings. You have to, they have all sorts of like promotional exhibitor construction things that you can have, exhibitor tables, additional tables. Chairs. You have to pay for your, like you said, power, electric, power, internet, and so there is a lot of cost associated with that, and especially if you're like a single person game developer, you're not going to make your money back on this.
Exactly.
What you're going for as an exhibitor
is exposure. Is exposure. Yeah.
I would not have had the exposure I have right now or had the contacts I had right now if I hadn't gone to Origins.
Yeah.
But I doled out over several thousand dollars to do that, but I would not be where I am right now without it. I wouldn't have the experience that I have right now. Like, I know that I have to do another printing so that you have a spot, and this is something that if you're doing a new book, whether it be a module or a game system, even no matter how small your book is, you need to have a spine on it that lists the your title and who authored it, so that game stores can put it on their shelves because it maximizes the size of or the space in the game store because they have very limited space there.
Right.
So game stores won't carry those games per se unless
they can file it in, like
file
a bookshelf
it in
style.
Where you're going to get your exposure if you've done like I did and did the staple bind is like at your game stores, local game stores, and
going and demoing and
they'll do consignment sales,
consignment stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like just to kind of wrap up my total fence-sitting answer, I feel like the advantage to being an attendee is that you get the full-on experience of what that convention is meaning to be, is what it's targeting you to be. You know, you go to Indie PopCon, you expect to see celebrities, you expect to see, you know, obviously
cosplay,
video games. You get to see really, as far as I'm concerned, spectacular panels. You get to talk to, you know, if you're like us, you get a chance to talk to really, really fun, really awesome people to do interviews and things like that. If you go to Gen Con, you know, you as an attendee, you get to experience different games. You, even if all you do all weekend is walk around the exhibit hall, you get to meet and meet new people and try new games all weekend. There's no other than getting your pass. There's no pressure to have to buy anything that you experience at Gen Con. Obviously, if you play a game and you enjoy it, they want you to buy it because that helps them get back home, you know?
Well, it's twofold. It helps them get back home, but it also reduces the shipping costs of lugging that stuff
right,
back home.
Right, because they're taking one less game.
Mm-hmm.
As an exhibitor, I would have to say what I really love about it is being able to have more intimate, closer contact with people who are at the show. Being able to actually sit down at my booth, or, well, in our case, stand up at our booth and be able to talk to people about the things that we're passionate about, the reason that we started this podcast, the reason that we have done it for 4.5 years. Some of the fun things, you know, I know our first year at Indie PopCon, we had a table next to us that was empty. Being able to sit down with a couple attendees and actually play a game at our booth and talk to them and record that as kind of an actual play and encourage them, like you said, Derek, to go across the little walkway here and talk to them about the cool buttons and crafts and stuff that they're making, because we've been chatting with them all weekend and they're not making any money, and we want them to be able to make money because we want them to come back.
Oh, that brings up something important. At Origins, there was a LARP guy that was there. During the last day, he would go around and see all the very small press people, and he would make a large purchase from them.
Oh, that's
to
awesome.
Help them out. Like, he came up to me and bought like a package deal that cool. I had got going. And it's, you don't see these types of interactions as an attendee. It's
right.
Really, you see those as the exhibitor.
As a curious note, actually, for the three of you then, from this standpoint, I just thought of something and I was kind of curious your take on this. Would you say that as attendees, once you have become an exhibitor, do you think that changes how you exhibit? I mean, you're seeing what maybe... Do you see what maybe people are looking for? Does that help you as an exhibitor do more to put things out there to be noticed more? Do you think that helps? You know, kind of that cross... You're kind of seeing it from both sides. Mm-hmm. Does it help you in any way?
I personally think that both... You know, being an attendee that became an exhibitor and being an exhibitor that is also an attendee, it's very similar to being a player GM. The reason that I love being an exhibitor attendee or a player GM is because I want to, you know, take Indie PopCon for example. We have recently become, you know, in my opinion, at least casual, if not good friends with several of the people that. That own the convention, and it's really cool to be able to say, hey, Sean, you know, I had this, you know, we were just talking and we thought about this. Have you guys thought about this? If so, that's exciting. If not, you know, take it or leave it. I don't care. But you get a chance to, as an attendee exhibitor, especially one who, in my opinion, you know, is very passionate about the success of the convention. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an exhibitor's booth and we're going to be helping with the live podcast stage and stuff like that through the weekend. But my biggest concern is seeing Indie PopCon continue into year 4.
Now, I'm going to modify that a little bit. I was thinking
sure.
about that. I think it's not necessarily player GM. I think it's more player GM versus someone who's created a role-playing game or a module or a system.
Okay.
I think it's I think the delineation is between someone who uses the material versus someone who creates the material.
Sure.
So, for instance, when I do exhibiting, when I first exhibited, I really had no idea what was going on. And then after I've done more exhibiting, I feel like, especially at Gen Con, I felt like I was a lot more cognizant about when I was talking to exhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
I was, A, not trying to take up too much of their time.
Sure.
If it was, if I wasn't going to buy something there, if I was just interested. I also felt like, especially for the small guys, like the indie guys, I felt more inclined to purchase something.
Sure.
There, to support them. And so I was really also very aware of other attendees and how they treated exhibitors, because there are some exhibitor or some attendees who are very rude to the exhibitors,
right?
And so I get my hair in a tizzy over that, because I know what it's like to be on the other side. Even for established companies,
mm-hmm.
I'd say small to mid-size established companies, like the Watsies, that whatever. But for the small and mid-size companies, even Jasco, because they're more mid-size, it's a make-or-break situation.
Sure.
And they need to get their name out. Even those people that have an established product, they need to get their names out to more people so that more people will get their stuff in their store,
right,
so that they can continue doing that.
Well, and I think that as an exhibitor, specifically speaking, someone who's selling something, because when we exhibit at our booth, you know, Josh and I are running the booth, Derek and I are running the booth, Daniel's coming over to hang out at the booth. We're a free podcast. We're not selling anything. If anything, we're trying to sell other people's stuff for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I know last year at Indie PopCon, every time we did an interview, we would make sure, hey, do you have any buttons, or do you have a t-shirt that you're giving away with people or something like that? Because we want to put it at our booth, because we want to help promote you guys. We, you know...
And we like swag.
And we like swag. Swag is pretty awesome. But, and you know, we were able to use that swag to give away in a pretty awesome raffle. We started out with about $150 to $200 worth of stuff, and by the time the guy who won left Indie PopCon on Sunday, he had about $550 worth of swag with him.
Uh-huh.
So if that's any reason for you guys to come to PopCon, by all means, come and see us at PopCon, because you might have an opportunity to walk away with something. But my point is, I can definitely see that there is... I think that, obviously, we kind of started the versus topic with a very general attendee versus exhibitor. And obviously, there are several detailed delineations from each one of those things. Whether you're, if you're a GM, are you an attendee or an exhibitor? Well, you're kind of both, because you're not GMing from the start of the con to the end of the con. You know, you're going to pause at some point, and even if it's just to go get dinner with some people, now you're an attendee, because you know you don't have one of those, you know, ridiculously expensive exhibitor badges.
I think that there is a different category for GM player,
sure,
versus exhibitor, because even when you're done the day with as an exhibitor, you're still on, actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you're there for another hour to 2 hours.
And you've
cleaning
got that
things up
exhibitor badge.
Oh yeah,
badge. So even when you're like when I was at Origins, when I was running around playing games, I had that exhibitor badge, and I was very aware that whatever I did reflected on
your brand,
people coming and seeing me.
Yes, absolutely. I guess kind of where I was taking. My original response to Dan's question is, for me, being a fairly empathetic kind of guy, it means so much more to me to understand the experience that both an exhibitor and attendee go through. As an attendee, I'm spending, you know, $45, $55, $80, $100 on a, you know, 3-4 day pass. That's money out of my pocket. I'm buying into whatever this product is. I want to have a good time. But as an exhibitor, I'm spending $300, $400, $1,000, $2,000, $10,000 on my booth.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No,
guys.
Absolutely. Well,
$10,000 is not an exaggeration.
$10,000 is probably
That's a good
it's
size.
It's probably moderate to good size, yeah. But it's not. I mean, you look at the big guys, Paizo, Watsi, they spend tens of thousands, lots and lots of money just to be there.
Yeah, Jesco was one of the sponsors at Origins last year.
Right.
And so I know that they spent over 10, probably. I don't know their financials, obviously, but I can easily imagine it's over 10,000.
Yeah, I know that when we helped out last year at Jasco's booth, and they were talking about what the booth cost, it was over 10 grand for their booth at Gen Con.
Yeah, and that was not a huge booth.
It wasn't a huge booth.
And they kind of helped themselves out. They did ship some stuff there, but even then they had to bring some of the stuff with them.
Yeah, they took a day bag with their clothes in it, yeah. And then their other piece of luggage was a suitcase with games in it.
And I saw that they have a trailer because that's what they drug to Origins. And it's like, I mean, you look at these guys that have these booths with all those fancy posters and everything.
Yeah.
They're like schlepping that along.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're counting pennies to make sure that they got enough gas money to get home or to get there and back.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I feel like being able to be an exhibitor, even with our free podcast, but being able to be an exhibitor allowed me to appreciate my time as an attendee so much more to appreciate those who are exhibiting so much more because you're, and I know Dan and I, we had a little bit of a rough experience last year at Gen Con because I think we were both overwhelmed with what the commitment level of what we were doing was. I wouldn't change it necessarily from last year because I had a good time and I've had time to kind of rest and deal with that. But it definitely wasn't the experience I expected it was going to be. Mm-hmm. but in that same respect, I understand the hurt that you feel or the pain that you feel at the end of the weekend when you have worked your butt off and the convention's over. You feel like you've done everything that you could all weekend, but you've literally done nothing. Yeah.
The last 2 hours at the booth was probably the worst of the weekend. I thought that it was rough for the first few days, but that last 2 hours was like, oh, good.
You think that people are just sitting on their butts behind a table, but it is not. It is work.
Especially for our introverted friends. Because Avital had the same experience at PopCon this last year. Avital had to go over and spend some time in the Endless Dungeon just to kind of chill out or whatever. But even Don and I commented the very first PopCon on our post-PopCon update. Man, so many P's. Anyways.
Post-PopCon.
I know. The post-PopCon podcast. We commented, even as extroverts, like, we're both sitting here going,
I was so exhausted.
It was awesome.
I had a great time, but I did not, I mean.
We legitimately sat most of the day. Like, there was no, it was almost entirely sitting. And yet, when it was over with, we thought we'd ran a marathon.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Now, you guys are not trying to sell anything.
No.
No, and that's the thing. Yeah, we weren't schlepping anything.
Selling yourselves, but I mean, when you're actually trying to sell something.
Right.
It goes, the stress level.
Oh, yeah.
And the work goes up.
Because you're on.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Even off hours.
Yes.
You're still talking to people about your game.
Yes.
You're still talking to people about why you're there and coming back next year, whether or not it was profitable enough for you to do so and things like that. Like, it is extremely difficult just to be able to take that 10-minute break. You know, while you're like, okay, when am I going to, you just like, you almost have to take your exhibitor badge off, stick it in your backpack, and then just sit in a booth at a restaurant by yourself for, an hour.
Well, that's why you bring other people, like, bring Lance and Dan's going to be there at Lebanon MegaCon this year with me. So you bring people so that you can have those breaks to walk around the exhibit hall. And you also one of the small things you also see, and it's really subtle, is you see the other exhibitors look at you differently as an exhibitor versus an attendee, because it's like, okay, we understand your pain, come over here and sit down for a minute.
I know last year at Gen Con, probably one of my biggest, and this is definitely something that if you are an exhibitor and you're at a local convention, you need to take heed of. I worked at my regular job, which I work a third shift job. I worked at my regular job Wednesday night before the con and then Thursday night before Friday. And I probably got, if I'm lucky, 2 hours of sleep in between me getting off work and the con opening. And by Saturday, I thought I got hit by a truck. I mean, it was Sunday, I was golden because I literally went and worked on Saturday, went back to my hotel room on Saturday night, and I slept for probably 10 to 12 hours. And, you know, everybody was out on Saturday having a good time and partying. I was gone. Like, I could have slept in. You know, I joke, after this being my, you know, soon-to-be 13th Gen Con, I joked for a long time about those people that sleep in the hall. That was me at Gen Con. Yeah. I was taking power naps in the hall.
I was afraid a couple times I was going to have to come look for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you even told me at one point, you said, I'm going out to the hall. If I'm not back, come get me.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was so exhausted.
I was tired, too. And I didn't realize what you were doing. And then when you had told me that you were working and doing this, and I was like, he's nuts.
I am nuts. That's exactly it. I am extremely
if you're working a con, unstable. Then you are, that is your job for the week, weekend. If you are attending a con, then you may be able to get away with working, but I would highly suggest against it.
Yeah.
Or at least be very cautious about your hours. Yeah, I'm gonna put a 40 minutes in 40 minute in preface, which I know that's terrible. So
that's
was it more like a
that's just a fuss?
It's just a fuss, a post fuss. I don't know. Now we're just making
preface,
up
epilogue, and then
more are we words. Creating words now?
Well, I guess we have to. Obviously, we are the Established Facts, the podcast that discusses all things gaming.
That's right.
And I know it has seemed like in the last couple of years that we've talked about a lot of conventions. So. Number one, if that bothers you, I'm sorry. We love cons.
That's right.
And for us, we play games at those cons. We discuss gaming at those conventions, and it's an interest of our own. So I want you to understand that we're giving this information as an experience for you to enjoy it, and because we think it's fun to talk about.
You know, the intro to the podcast. We are a podcast of all things gaming, and conventions right now are a huge part of that world.
Right, because
it's,
we could very well.
It's a huge part of our lives right now. I mean, people joke about actors going behind the camera and becoming directors.
Right.
We've done
that's
that
pretty
in
much
the gaming
what we're doing. Yeah, absolutely.
Scene. And, like, honestly, I mean, this, as I said before, this doing what we're doing right now is done by very few people. I'm not tooting our horn, but anything, but I'm just saying that. People just, I mean, learn from our mistakes. I mean, Fear the Boot makes a very good point when they say that they're not like the perfect players. All their advice comes because they have made so many mistakes in their lives. And so they're giving out all the advice and everything because they've learned it from their mistakes. We're learning ours from our mistakes.
Absolutely. Your comment reminds me of it's been probably 3.5 years since we talked to him on the podcast, but we had Dan from Fear the Boot on the show several years ago, and we were talking about podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the longevity of podcasting. And, you know, I love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not worried about ever making money doing this because I feel like when you involve money, there's a portion of your passion for this that you begin to lose. And the fact that we've been doing this for 4.5 years and that we still have some people that were here on day one and there are some people who are no longer here that new people have been able to come in. That shows what kind of passion we all have and where that passion lies. But I can honestly say that it's so surreal for me to think about the fact that just what you said, that we have literally gone from a podcast. You know, Dan was talking about most podcasts don't last more than 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lasted 4.5 years, and Fear the Boot
made it over that hump,
right? And Fear the Boot, even more so than that,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
And So it's cool.
And they
to
still
think,
have people that have been there since day one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I was talking to Josh about this a while back, maybe a couple months ago. It's really cool to kind of see how that page from going from a podcast that just hangs out and discusses all things gaming to a podcast that exhibits to now a podcast that is sponsoring a podcast stage and being able to hang out with some of these people that we only ever just talked about being able to hang out with. And it's like now we're actually doing it. And it's so crazy to me that this is literally, you know, to kind of sort of segue but not necessarily fully into our discussion. It's so crazy how the wheels of life have turned.
Well, and, I mean, the fact that you still have that excitement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is why we are continuing on right now is because, and I'll say it for myself, I know that I haven't been on very a lot recently, but again, life happens.
Life happens, yeah.
It's, I still have that excitement about coming on the mics and talking and discussing things gaming, discussing things that I've learned as an exhibitor, as a creator, as and everything, and running as a GM and stuff like that. I still am excited about discussing everything about video games and board games and card games and all that. So it's take our experiences for what they're worth and run and use them to the best of your guys' abilities.
Absolutely. I know that we have several people that have listened to the podcast since pretty much the time that we started recording. We talked about being an attendee versus being an exhibitor. For those of you who don't know, I've said it about three different times in this podcast. We are the official podcast sponsor for the live podcast stage at Indie PopCon. But in that, we also have an exhibitor's booth at Indie PopCon. So this is me officially calling out some of those people that have been there since day one, or even if you just started listening and you're interested in kind of seeing the difference between being an attendee versus being an exhibitor, we definitely would love help being able to hang out and talk to people at our booth and play games. You know, we're going to have a demo table where we can just hang out and play games with people. But we want to have people to be able to hang out and check us out and come and talk to people about this podcast. And, you know, Josh and I, Derek, Daniel, we'll be there intermittently during the weekend, and we'll probably have other podcasters from the show in that booth. But
also, talk to me. I mean, come if you guys have ideas as far as creating board games, creating role-playing games, creating any sort of game, or module, come talk with me. I'll be at the booth. I'll
say, aren't you more representing yourself both as the creator of the Universal Storytelling System, but aren't you kind of, I don't know, putting yourself out there now as a someone interested in new creative ideas for Pelican Press?
Yes,
I am. Thought so.
I know that I've got currently someone working on a module. That'll be Daniel, but I mean, writers are definitely some groups that are people that I could definitely use to help me out, and I would definitely be interested in talking to people about that. This is something that I need to preface, and this is an actual preface.
Oh,
that you do not get into creating games to make buku bucks.
Oh yeah,
it's a labor of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it gets your name out there as a published author, I was talking the very first convention where I exhibited, which was GamerX 2. I talked to another exhibitor, and he said, "You do not make money at this, and for like 5 years or so."
Yeah.
And that's if you are hard charging on it and going to all the conventions. You need to build up a number of products and different products to sell. You can't be a one-trick pony. With that said, I would love to talk to people that are wanting to do writing and just don't have don't have a means to do it, I can definitely point you in the right direction. If it's something that if you just want to write stories like novels, I'd be very interested in that. Let me know. So definitely could stop by the Indie PopCon Established Facts / Ballgame Press booth. So.
Well.
Deep subject.
For such a shallow mind.
But life happened.
That's right. Life did happen. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, we've all expanded in whether it be, you know, well, I guess Josh is reducing. Josh is reducing.
Yeah.
Josh is working on some weight loss, and that's awesome.
That's true. It's 15 pounds thus far in about a month and a half.
That's nothing to, you know.
That's not, no, it's, nothing it's to definitely shake a stick not. At.
It's very good.
Thank you, Weight Watchers, and no, I don't get paid by Oprah.
But sure. If you're interested in sponsoring us,
we will gladly
take your money.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, kind
thanks
of.
Thanks for that awkwardness,
yeah,
Don.
Yeah, you know. What else am I if not
any PopCon?
And Oprah.
And now
Oprah's
property of Oprah.
Weight Watchers family.
That's right.
We're on Oprah's favorite things.
That's right. That's right.
You got a big sticker on the front door.
That's right. You know, just talking about the progression of life while we've been doing this podcast, I started this podcast with one kid, and I now have three.
So are you doing a kid per season of The Established Facts?
If so, he's a year behind.
I am a year behind. Well, it's okay, because we're always behind.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, no, well, I think we're done at three.
We release every other week, so he's just getting one every other year.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay. Well, then you're doing good.
That's
we're
right.
doing good. You're right, right on schedule.
No, I think we're done. We, you know, for those of you who don't know, my wife, she was due in May. We had Samuel George 10 weeks early, but he is a fighter, man. He came out breathing on his own. He's still hanging out in the hospital, but he's doing amazingly well.
Sorry, when you said that, I thought that he was he popped out like fully ripped muscles to Eye of the Tiger.
I mean, pretty much, he ripped out his IV like five times.
Yeah, and started fighting the doctor.
Yeah,
like,
knocked him out. You know, I had to pull him out of the room. That's right. That's right. But no, he's doing awesome. Mom's doing awesome. So she'll be on the mics hopefully soon again. She's still recovering and hanging out and resting and stuff. And he should be out of there. Man, I tell you what. I'm not going to make the call. He's due to come out on his due date, May 11th. But if I was a betting man, I think it's going to be way before that. So we'll see. He's gaining weight every day. So, and he's pretty much doing everything on his own at this point.
That's
minus
good.
Minus
That's
feeding. He's still got a feeding tube. But anyway, life happened. Yeah, life happened.
And then I got into a relationship that quickly delved into seriousness. And so that and a couple of health issues have been keeping me away from and school. Kept me away from the mics for a while. School will be ending in August.
Yay!
And so I will once again know what free time is until...
For a minute.
A minute.
Until he gets a hair up him to go get another degree.
Yeah. No. This is my last... Well, this is my last one until I get my doctorate when I retire. So...
you knew that was coming, right?
I know.
Okay.
How long have you known me and know that that was my goal?
I said that.
That's right. That on top of it, for those of you who are interested, who's your con? Talking about, you know, life happening.
We weren't going to give Daniel an opportunity to talk.
Oh, well,
things.
Yeah. Dan, go ahead.
I have nothing to talk
about. Oh, look at that. Boom.
See, I'm the boring one because I'm just starting out. You know, if you want to know, this
just
year
ask.
Has been a move, and then another move.
Wow. So three moves. There you
within
go.
A year.
Yeah.
Not quite checkmate,
so.
Though.
No.
You know what? It's enough.
He's done.
Yeah, three moves in a year. That's I'm good. Quite good.
Sure.
I'll keep it as is. If there's another move, I will probably be bored.
Josh, do you have anything that has happened in your life? This is your life.
Ooh. Not a ton, and dealing with dog issues, just having to determine the future with one of the dogs, but we also have a growing 17-month-old toddler. He's walking around, telling us everything. Likes popcorn. Found that out today. And then, you know, doing the behind-the-scenes work with the PopCon guys to make sure we've got everything together from there. I did officially LLC up the Casting Robot Productions.
That's right. Yay.
And make the Established Facts of Doing Business As. So we are an official company with no back, you know, back and stuff yet. But
yeah,
we're just, it's an LLC at the moment. We'll discuss more details when
we are a property care. And that's as far as it goes.
That's right. I technically own the name in Indiana.
Yeah.
And I have an employer ID for people I don't pay.
Yeah, same with me. So we can be bought and sold in Monopoly. So.
I guess that's the case.
So are we Baltic or Mediterranean?
Speaking of Monopoly, did you hear that all future versions are going to come with digitals?
That's stupid.
Like, you can buy Classic Edition, but it's all going to be handled now with the digital
money
system.
My wife is going to never play Monopoly again.
You can still buy the Classic Edition. I'm just.
Oh, by the way, the Doctor Who-opoly is amazing.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yes. We picked that up about a month ago.
Is it an official Monopoly game?
Yes, officially. Yes, okay. Yep, official BBC.
Oh.
Monopoly Hasbro. Yeah, Hasbro. Yep. So
first we're going to start in our con rants.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You started with
first weekend in April, who's your con?
Yes. I will be running games.
Independent show is doing stuff on Sunday.
Correct.
Who's your con? I believe it's the first, second, and third.
Yes.
There's a true dungeon running during that
time. That's right. And there's a ton of... And it's a free con.
Yeah, right.
So if we don't go, they're never going to talk to us again.
Well, he's going. Derek's running games.
Derek's
so
running games,
we have a representation for sure.
Yes, but...
I have no idea if I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I would like to go if that is...
I'm on babysitting.
If life doesn't decide to get in my way again.
Well, I may be the only representative of the establishment.
Avital went last year. Yeah. So, I'm not saying we won't make it, but I'm not promising.
Well, I will be there, but I will unfortunately be working as a volunteer for one of the companies because I was asked.
You're doing this really back ass for it. You just know that, right?
Thanks.
You're exhibiting before you become an attendee.
That's right. Well, he's an attending exhibitor.
Probably.
An attending exhibitor.
An
sure,
attending
that makes sense.
Exhibitor.
We just made that up.
If
volunteers are exhibitors, then yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But Indiana Comic Con is the last weekend
in April. First weekend in May.
Yeah, it goes to the 29th of May 1st. Yeah. And apparently that's the same weekend as Lebanon MegaCon.
Which is in Missouri, Lebanon, Missouri.
Sweet.
I will be an exhibitor along with Dan. So.
I will be there with that one.
So we'll be exhibiting there for Pal Game Press. So definitely come stop by the table there and talk to me there too.
Sweet.
DrewCon.
Okay. Here's a whole bunch of info on that.
Let's do it.
So DrewCon is the first weekend in June.
Sweet.
It is in St. Louis.
Yep.
And it is a free convention. So you just need to get
a
room.
It's free to attend.
Free to attend, but you just need a room at the hotel.
Room, buy your own food.
And then just come and play games. We're basically that was the impetus behind it is get a room. Sit down and play a game.
Yep.
If you're interested, go to conplanner.com.
Yes.
Sign up for an account and sign up to run a game.
Are you doing everything through Conplanner?
Yes, we're doing that through. I've got a couple of games I'm running there as well.
You and I need to talk, Don. We need to do Zombicide again because that was awesome.
I'm down.
But definitely get your room there by May 2nd. That's when the block releases. So I think it's $129 a night.
It's really reasonable.
Okay.
It's reasonable, especially with Drury having like the free breakfast and the dinner and all that.
Oh, yeah. So, they got free drinks, too.
And yeah. So it's really, really reasonable.
It's only like one.
Two tickets a day. Yep.
Two tickets. Okay.
We are running our part two of our Indiegogo campaign.
That's right. So for DrewCon.
For DrewCon. The convention is technically free for attendees, it's not free for us.
Right.
So,
it's not free to host it.
Yes.
It's just free to come.
So we're trying to make up some of that difference so it's not like a fully out of pocket on our end.
Sure.
And we want to pay our artist some money.
Do you have a goal?
Currently, it's $1,000. We raised nearly $1,000 on part one.
All right.
Part two, we're hoping to raise $1,000.
That's some really cool perks, even the $150 perk mm-hmm. where you get to attend a private party.
Yep, and we've got a couple of people that have done that during part one, so I will be there the night before.
Cool.
That would be you, Josh.
Yes.
So we will figure out something cool and fun to do, probably play
Please,
a game.
Somebody else donated $150 so it's not just Derek and Josh sitting in a room together.
No, it would be Derek. It's worse than that. It's Derek, Josh, Bob, and Adam.
Oh, Lord.
So,
hey, my wife will be there. If my wife is not allowed, we're going to have talks.
No, your wife is going to be there. But here's the thing with that group, the hotel may be destroyed. Before.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Because you know us and our rock star status.
That's right. I know there's.
All you need is a Mikey Mason, and then you're
Oh, then we're done. Well, done. No, unfortunately, Mikey had a double booking that time period, so he had to go. With the other one, he was really disappointed. And
did he say he was going to try and come out like the Thursday or something before he heads out?
I do not know.
Okay, so he's going to be gone all weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
but
you will be missed.
Yes, you will be missed. We'll pour out a drink for you.
That's right.
And okay, so that would be May.
That's June.
First
Drew
of June.
Con's in June.
Yeah, that would be June because that would be nice.
June 17th to the 19th.
19th is IndiePopCon.
Father's Day weekend is IndiePopCon in Indianapolis, which is where you should be.
Yes.
And if you can't quite make that additional 2 hours or whatever from Ohio, Origins is going on that same weekend.
Yes,
it is. The reason
right.
I know that is John Pettit and his family.
Are they going to Origins
they
again?
Certainly are.
What a...
But I've talked to them. They're going to try and stop by on their way
That's
back.
That's what they said last
Sunday.
Year.
I know that.
John, I'm putting you on blast, bro. If you don't come through Indianapolis Ooh. On your way back to St. Louis, we're going to have issues. St. Louis is only 3 hours away. I will come and find you.
I mean, goodness gracious. They're going to be in Dayton. Dayton's the... What? Isn't that where Origins is?
No, it's Columbus.
Columbus. Oh, yeah.
It's 3 hours away.
It's 3 hours away. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're splitting the difference. Anyways, so Origins is that same weekend. IndiePopCon is where it's at, but if you... are further east coast and it's too far of a drive, whatever. Go to Origins.
Then take a plane.
Go to Origins. See our friends at Carolina Game Tables. They'll
right.
be out there. I'm sure that the Overlords folks will be probably at Origins.
They may be. I'm not sure. I can find that out.
So, that's going on that weekend. We do not know what's going on in July. We all apparently...
Hopefully we'll have a break before
right,
August.
We're
going
to take some sort of a break.
Yeah, August is Gen Con, and that is going to be interesting.
Oh?
Yeah.
Because it'd be your first time not staying downtown in a while, but...
Well, yeah, plus I'm attending and not having to chauffeur a bunch of people around.
That's okay, man.
Wow, you'll actually get to go to Gen Con.
I know, this is going to be really
fun. I'm proud of you.
That is weird.
However, we are going to make a public announcement and... slight moment of silence only because it'll make him feel awkward. We are sad to announce that Tracy Hickman will be missing his first Gen Con in 30 years.
No! Wow. Thank you, Debbie.
Wow.
That was a thing. If you all heard my wife screaming in the background,
That's
it wasn't
okay.
my fault.
That's okay. my insides were screaming, too. You
made me fired.
We need to get a hold of him to see if we can... crash at his place for Salt Lake City Con.
Salt Lake City Comic Con, that could be good. But with that being said, please look up information on The Void.
That would be the thing in July.
Probably.
Probably.
look up The Void virtual reality systems. I think there's more to that. But the reason he's missing is because he's the director of story development for The Void.
Because his son works for them.
His son owns the company. This is his deal. They were actually at TED Talks here recently.
Oh, sweet.
And put on a great demo. Harrison Ford went through the thing and
nice.
Really loved it. So...
Well, if you can impress Harrison Ford,
right.
you might as well just sell a million of them.
It was quite right. Indianapolis is considered one of the sites they are considering.
He better do more than just consider.
Well, I'm pointing that out there because they are looking at major cities to roll sure. out to. Of course, Salt Lake will probably be where they start or wherever that area is up there. But
well, they do know that this is the gaming capital of the world.
It's the gaming capital of the world, Keith okay. Byrd.
Thank you. Thank you, Derek. Thank you.
I'm here for you to support you, Don.
I thank you.
That was the priest. Now, from a life event, I just remembered a life event that's sort of gaming related. Now that Donald and I can officially announce this, Don and I have been asked to join Peter Spellos' Breakfast Anytime
That's right.
improv troupe.
That's right.
We're really excited about that. Our first performance is for May a fundraiser, May the 6th.
Okay. I knew it was the first weekend in May.
May the 6th in Edinburgh, Indiana.
That's right.
It's the Pixie Theater. Stand Up for Cancer rally, I guess. They're going to be doing fundraising for the American Cancer Society.
Yep.
It'll be the Breakfast Anytime's first performance.
And it's a variety show. There's multiple acts that are going to be there, things like that. So definitely check that out.
Yes, and if that means you have to drive a little bit further than Columbus, Ohio, you should come to Edinburgh to raise some money for cancer.
John Pettit.
That's an excuse.
For military dogs who are experiencing PTSD.
Oh, right. It is pretty. Yes. Come watch Donald and I make complete fools of ourselves, making it up all on the spot, all in the name of cancer.
Yeah, by the way, that actually does bring up a good point. Unfortunately,
no fear of the charity.
Life events, no fear of the charity, because I just...
You could just put up a simple thing to raise money for the American Cancer Society.
That's true.
So, we'll talk about that off air.
That's under development.
That's under development.
We'll do lunch.
We'll do lunch.
We'll do lunch.
We'll do lunch. And I'm gonna put the final plug in. Thank you to Carolina Game Tables. As I mentioned them earlier, our Tablezilla came in. It's in great shape after it spent a weekend at PAX South down in Texas.
I was hoping it was going to come filled with games from PAX South.
That would have been interesting, but I'm sure that Jody and Clint will think of some other way to send us Savage World stuff. But we really love the table.
That was like two plugs in one,
right,
bro.
I'm getting better.
That was like a fourth wall break inside of a fourth wall break.
I do, but that was just shameless.
I don't have any shame anymore.
I know.
That's right.
One of these days we're going to get sponsorships, and I'm going to be like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I'm going to read off a script and go, man, I can't make up the sponsors anymore. They're real.
That's right.
Hey, I'm a real boy.
That's right. But seriously, Carolina Game Tables produced a fantastic game table. Go check them out. Anywhere from $8.99.
Josh has two of them.
I do have two of them, the dining room table and the Tablezilla. They start at $8.99 for a coffee table, all the way up to as high as around $4,000 for a Tablezilla with all the chairs and stools. Totally check them out.
Also, getting back to conventions in September, we cannot forget Dragon Con.
Dragon Con in September.
Yep. Is that Labor Day weekend?
That's
again?
Labor Day weekend.
I will be in Disney World.
yes, Dan, we are actually available, but getting tickets, especially hotel rooms, is like you have to book a year ahead. So,
telling you, we need to invest in a motorhome.
Yes, I know.
Like a big bus.
Well, it's in downtown Atlanta.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we go find
a park. We get a big bus.
Park in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
First weekend.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5.
And we'll just take bicycles.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. That was bike a bike.
Donald and I, we just planned our whole trip with a rented RV, parking in the Walmart parking lot and taking bicycles
to
downtown.
We'll just take bicycles downtown.
As long as the bikes have a little bell that goes ting, ting.
No, they come with a 9mm.
I'm slightly scared.
It's Atlanta, okay?
Wow.
Why did I just have a vision of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
I would say vacation with us going over to... We're not staying in one spot. We're actually doing a road trip.
That's right. I'm telling you.
So we need the station.
Got to get that Oprah money. Got to get that Oprah money.
Oh, wow.
shout out to Emily Schaub for her fantastic performance at
Avenue
Q.
That's right.
Absolutely fantastic. Sorry.
That's okay. Cool.
I got to stop
fine.
Or I'm
no,
just going to keep coming
okay.
up with stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Don't think of Mike Burley. Just think of Emily Schaub. It's okay.
Oh, Mike Bowerly. I hope you enjoyed your performance of Dial M for Murder because I didn't get an opportunity to go.
Jeez, what a jerk.
You didn't go either.
I don't care. I didn't go to either one. But I still love Mike and Emily.
He had his porn stash going, so and we made fun of
I was
him
having,
so bad.
Well,
for
my
that.
Wife was having a baby at the time. So.
I understand, but we made fun of him so bad during the improv workshop.
Did.
It was good.
All right. Anyway, so we didn't have a fact on our last episode.
Didn't.
What a disappointment.
Other than time is very important.
Time is very important. So our new fact for episode 117, A Life Happened, is to con... Or not to con? That is the question.
Con!
Con!
I won't dignify that.
Thank you so much, and we will check you later.
Bye. Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus!